On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the football team gets in the win column, the six-pack of picks stays hot, and men's soccer has a nice victory. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 178 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And do we feel all right, Gamecock Nation? We feeling good? Are the vibes up again? I'm certainly feeling it. You know, night game, getting that W, always feels good. Nothing better than Saturday night looking for a win and Sunday morning waking up when you found one. I love that saying. I beat that saying to death during football season, but hope y'all had a lovely weekend. Football-packed weekend. Basically watched however many, 24 hours worth of football, basically. It feels like 48 hours worth of football, just sitting on my couch, eating, drinking, soaking it all in, jumping from one channel to the next. It's just unbelievable. Best time of the year. What a time to be alive, but what a time to be a Gamecock. As always here, going to recap the football game for y'all, going to take up the vast majority of the episode here. But before I jump into that, let's have a little weekend recap from around USC Athletics. Starting on Friday, men's soccer beat Queens University 4-0. That was big for them. Needed to get that nice W as well, so good to see that. Women's volleyball beat Cincinnati on Friday 3-2. And then on Saturday, unfortunately, women's volleyball lost to Cincinnati 0-3. So a little bit of a mixed bag there, but a nice Friday for the Gamecocks. But on Saturday, that was the big game, the home opener for our football program at Willie B. And a little rain ain't going to stop the Gamecocks from partying, and a little rain ain't going to stop the Gamecocks from winning as South Carolina gets off the schneid, gets that loving feeling back, beating Furman 47-21. And you already knew that this was going to be a good game by the new cocky entrance. I mean, how about that? Incorporating the cockaboos and everything like that. I love it. I think that rocks. I mean, I know cocky had that entrance, for quite some time, what he had been doing. But this is awesome. The cockaboos is one of the most unique things in college football, really, and such a cool thing about Williams-Brice Stadium and Columbia. So why not bring it into the equation, right? And then they upgraded the tunnel with those lights. It's just, hell yeah. Sign me up for the new cocky entrance and this new hype video and all that jazz. Loved it. So you already knew when you have Cocky jumping out of a cockaboos and then Connor Shaw too as the starter, you kind of had a feeling things were going to be good for the Gamecocks. But this was that perfect palate cleanser win. You know, we're not talking week one anymore, but it was, you had this bad taste in your mouth, right? And it's like a gourmet meal. You need a little palate cleanser. That's exactly what this was, right? And it was a team that you had to take seriously in Furman, and everything that you heard about them, read about them, Shane Beamer talked about it, is real. They're a good FCS team. You needed to take them seriously, but you needed to handle your business. And I mean, it wasn't without a little bit of drama. I mean, it was a rocky start, right? You had Mitch Jeter doinking the kick for his first miss in college. And then you also had Furman scoring twice in the first half and kind of looking like nice with it, right? Like they had some drives that were extended and it was just this kind of this weird start to the game, really. And to me, it just kind of felt like it was a matter of the Gamecocks needing to settle into the game a bit, because once they did, it was all Carolina, and Willie B was rocking. I mean, it was jam-packed. Whenever they showed the crowd, it was fully packed. Like, that was not an exaggeration that it was a sellout. And it's the home opener. I get it. It's exciting, but there's the weather. It's Furman. There were excuses that people could have, but the Gamecock faithful never disappoint. And that was really cool thing to see. I mean, you definitely in this game, right? You had some things that this team can build on after this win, and also some things that you can keep working on. And so let me dive right into it. What I liked, what I didn't like from each side of the ball, and then I'll, you know, speak to some of these a little bit more specifically here. So overall for the team, you got to like just getting back in the win column, right? And just in that fashion, really dominating performance. Really, when it was all said and done, you were able to play some younger guys. You took out the starters. You took out the starters kind of early in the grand scheme of things. I was a little surprised to see it, but you know, you were up 20. You were really rolling, and it was time. Like I said, there was that little bit of adversity to start the game, and there were definitely some challenges really coming into this week, especially on the injury front and things like that. But the team responded well, ended up with a very solid win. And, you know, before this game, I talked about, I don't think it's going to be this 49-0 blowout. It wasn't that, but it was definitely comfortable. And I wasn't thinking it was going to be as comfortable as it was. Maybe I was a little down in the dumps after that first game, but was very, very glad to see how this team responded. If there was going to be something from like an overall standpoint that I didn't really like, you know, especially early on, there were some bad penalties, some silly mistakes, procedural type of stuff that you want to clean up. I understand it's early in the year. You tend to see some of that, but we need to be a very disciplined team. And especially with SEC play now here, you need to be very disciplined. And there were a couple silly penalties week one as well. So you got to do the little things right to beat the great teams. And there's going to be times when South Carolina are going to be underdogs. And if you're going to try to do that and have those underdog, you know, wins, those upset victories, you need to be able to do the little things right. And cleaning up penalties is certainly one of them. Now, diving into the sides of the ball here, starting with the defense, I like that we were able to get to the quarterback. Put that as my crow to the game, and it came through. Always makes me feel like a genius. I had 3 sacks, so that was great. That needs to continue to improve. I think we're going to see, hopefully, Jadeus Gear next game, but you're going to need to have these guys start to get after the quarterback a little more regularly, but that was exactly what you needed to do, and it was exciting to see. And then I really liked how, after the 2 Furman scores, the defense really tightened up the screws and didn't allow another score until really late in the fourth. And, you know, you got different guys playing at that point. So essentially, this defense pitched a shutout in the second half, which was awesome. And I don't know if y'all saw this on social media, but I saw that after Furman scored the second time, Boogie Huntley gathered the defense and they were huddling on the sideline. And I don't know what was said specifically, but it seemed like he was firing up the team, firing up the defense, and they responded. And it was probably a moment of like, what the heck are we doing here, guys? Like, we are better than these guys. We're better than this. We know what we're made of, and let's go out there and show it. And they did. So you absolutely love that. Now, what I didn't like was, you know, giving up the 2 early scores. You don't ever like to see that, but it was more so Furman being able to move it well in those drives. And their second drive, particularly, was just definitely too long, right? And then also, I didn't like that there were a few instances where the defense had a big third down with favorable distance and everything like that and allowed Furman to convert. So you definitely don't like that. And if this defense wants to continue to improve, third down defense needs to be improved, especially as we head to stiffer competition. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I didn't like, I loved Spencer Rattler. I mean, wow. Y'all, like, through two games, like, he has just really looked incredible. I mean, he looks in command, he's more accurate, and his decision-making is just miles ahead of where it was this time last year. He is locked in. Like, him, all the reports of saying that this offense is more suited for him and he understands it, he feels comfortable. Yeah, I believe it. 25 of 27 Saturday night, 345 yards and three touchdowns. 25 of 27. What is that? That's like a Connor Shaw stat line. You know what I mean? Like, just making smart decisions, just moving the offense well, being in command. And when your quarterback does that, you're going to have a chance. And who knows if he's going to be able to keep this pace up. But if he can, it's just really, really special. And we could be in, you know, we could be in the game, right? He gives you a chance when you have a quarterback playing like that. And then also, you know, by extension, I really liked Xavier Leggett. Their connection so far has just been special. And I don't know what's going on with Juice. I know he was battling an injury. I think he's still nursing that injury because, you know, he had that catch in the game. Didn't really see him a whole heck of a lot week one. So Xavier Leggett's emergence as a top wide receiver has just been incredible and much needed. Because once Juice comes back to 100%, look out. Because then you got two top dogs. I also liked the pass protection. You know, Spencer and the rest of the quarterbacks had time pretty much all night. I think there was maybe one sack allowed, but I liked it. And you even saw some younger guys getting playing time on the line, and they looked pretty good. So that's definitely going to be something to watch to see if Beamer is really ramping these guys up to have serious playing time. A guy like Tree Babelade played a good bit, looked pretty well, but it is a matter of, can you get the reps? Can you get the playing time in game and grow into that role? That's such an important position, but one where it's tough when you're facing, you know, potential first round picks on the other side of you in SEC play. I also liked what we saw out of Mario Anderson and DJ Braswell running the ball. I simply think they should be running the ball more. Like, I think they should be in the rotation more. This is not a knock on Dak or Juju, but these are two running backs. Like, you know, Mario Anderson, yes, he did it at a lower level, but you brought him here for a reason. You were confident enough to recruit him out of the portal. He needs to see the field more. He needs to play more. DJ Braswell, I understand he's young, you know, he's freshman, but you see freshman running backs in college football. If they're impact players and you believe in them, give them the rock. You know, these guys need to be in the rotation more, absolutely, from my opinion. And then also didn't like but loved Lenore Sellers. I mean, what the heck? I was a little surprised to see him get in the game as early as he did, but whew. Dang, like, that was fun. He looked great. I mean, threw some absolute dimes that looked like they were thrown from a friggin' senior, let alone a true freshman. He's got the rec specs. Like, the guy rules. Lenore's rocks. And it's just, it's funny because, you know, that was the note we all ended on, right? Was a couple of great throws by Lenore's. He looked good. And it almost felt like he overshadowed Spencer in the game when he had this incredible stat line, but it was just leaving on the note of pulling away from Furman and Lenora Sellers leading the team. This exciting young freshman kind of overshadowed Spencer in a way. And then you see Nick Harbor get his first touchdown too. Just amazing to see that early connection right there. And it's important to live in the moment, as I've said before, and we need to really appreciate Spencer. Like, a talent like that doesn't come to your school all the time. And if he continues on this pace, it could be a special year. But the future with Sellers and Nick Harbor is absolutely bright. Maybe that's why he wears the rec specs, because it's so bright. His future is so bright. He needs to block out the sun. I don't know. But that was incredibly cool to see. There was just a lot to like from the offense in this game, which is what should be, right? That should be the case when you play an FCS team, right? The offense was clicking. When they get a first down, in what we've seen this Dowell Loggins offense, if they get that first down in a drive, they go. They get tempo and they fly. It's when they get sort of behind schedule and being in third and medium or second and long, that's when this offense kind of can hit the brakes a little bit. But if they get that first down, they go. Now, what I didn't like on the offensive side of the ball was just still not being able to have a consistent run game with our starters. You know, it was awesome to see Dak Joyner get a rushing touchdown, and he did have a couple of nice runs, but he's our leading rusher with 42 yards against Furman. So, like, still, something has to give with this running game. And, you know, you're turning to SEC play this week, so something or someone has to make that happen, right? And maybe the answer is Mario Anderson or DJ Braswell, but Loggins was doing his best with bubble screens and other, like, quick lateral throws to emulate runs in a way, but you need to be able to line up and run it between the tackles to keep defenses, especially SEC defenses, honest. And we just haven't really seen that. Having your leading rusher have 42 yards is a concern. You know, I think Mario was right behind him in the mid to high 30s. So who knows? Maybe if one of them had just some more carries, maybe it ends up with a little bit more of a respectable number. But even so, need to be able to improve that. But overall for the game, I mean, like I said, this is exactly what the team needed to do. Good teams handle these games well, and that's what the Gamecocks did. You know, a team that is really struggling, not to insinuate that we were, but would play this game closer, right? Like, you saw that we have the talent and we can do really good things. And yes, there's things that need to be worked on, but I think now through two games, you have an idea of what the team does well and where the weaknesses are, right? On the offensive side, it's beyond clear that this needs to be a pass-heavy approach, and this team needs to let Spencer take them as far as he can. I mean, shoot, just like run the air raid offense, right? Just throw it all the time, right? Like the run and gun offense, you know, like just really let him sling it. He has the potential to have a very special season, at least statistically speaking, right? And this staff knows that. But it's on them to continue to work around him to put the team in the best position possible. On the defensive side of the ball, the team needs to continue to work on the pass rush. Hopefully, this game can be a springboard for that. And, you know, there's also injuries through the secondary that they're working on that could be a big challenge for Clayton White to work around. But it has to be this next man up mentality, because it's not getting any easier with Georgia right around the corner. And I mean, it's here, right? Like, SEC play is here. It's now. It's time for some big boy football. So this team needs to continue to self-scout, get ready for the challenges, think outside the box. And if it's moving guys around, if it's scheming differently, you have to do something to, you know, have the offense be a little bit more balanced, have the team be a little bit more balanced overall. But, you know, on that note, like, let's get ourselves up and at them. It is Georgia hate week. To hell with Georgia. It's crazy because this is the last one as we know it, with Georgia being a regular East rival after this year. There's no more division, so who knows what the schedule looks like as far as when we'll play them again. But just from this standpoint of being in the East, being a rival, these teams have had some great matchups over the last, you know, 10 years or so. Obviously, Georgia's on sort of a different level now, but you never know, man. Like, I hate that team. So let's go. To hell with Georgia. Six-pack of picks, for those of y'all interested, went 5-1. Two good weeks for the six-pack. The only miss was one away from a sweep was Utah and Baylor. I had the under, or I had the over rather, and it went way under. So that stinks. But it was a fun day around college football. Colorado, Coach Prime, like that hype might be real. They have a pretty good squad. That was an interesting game. Satterfield offenses still stink. No surprise there. Texas, are they back? Beating Alabama? They might be back. They might be back, y'all. Miami beating Texas A&M. Talk about hype. The no hype train. Texas A&M. Every year. Big hype. Disappointing loss. Pencil it in every single year. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.